This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم وبعد respected brothers and sisters السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. The full response. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله. We praise and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, it's a great honor and privilege to be here in this city or town, Oldham Sharif. People call Leicester Sharif, but I always get mixed up with Oldham and Rochdale. I think a few years ago I had a lecture somewhere here in Oldham, and I mentioned in the talk that this Rochdale and Oldham looks like Mecca and Medina. They're just two close towns. I don't know where they are. Somewhere around Manchester. We only know Manchester, really. But this, first, I thought the program was in Manchester. Then today, when we were coming here, I actually realized that it's in another place called Oldham. But alhamdulillah, great to be here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you for taking out your precious time on this very sunny, sorry, rainy summer. Alhamdulillah, it's a ni'mah. We were supposed to have some, our friends who come from America, mashallah, they must be thinking, this is amazing summer, alhamdulillah. We had a, what we call, we're not doing qada, we had a summer in June already, alhamdulillah. And maybe in a few weeks' time, it will return, inshallah ta'ala. I would like to thank Miftah Institute. I really like this. You know the way they've done Miftah, the ha and the t together. Dual, multifunctional. Miftah. I was just telling my son here, I said, can you see this? It's Miftah Institute, mashallah. May Allah reward Sheikh Abdul Wahab and Sheikh Abdullah Wahid and the rest of the brothers. I've worked with them previously. This is actually the first time we've met in person, even though I've traveled to America many times, Detroit and Michigan and Chicago, but this is the first time we've met, even though we've spoken a lot, and I've done quite a few programs for them online. Alhamdulillah, it's a great honor and always a privilege to be working with them and being able to teach online courses, etc. The topic of today's session, which is related to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which gathers all of us, unites all of us, anchored by the Qur'an. And the Qur'an is something that unites all the Muslims, regardless of whichever methodology or background or ethnicity or understanding we have. The Qur'an is something that unites everybody. And this is why Allah said in the Qur'an, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on, all of you, collectively to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this hablullah, the commentators have explained, it refers to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran. Now this Quran that Allah has given to us, and I'm just going to talk very briefly, three basic rights of the Quran. The Quran has three basic rights over us, every single one of us, male, female, Muslim, you know, all the Muslims, elderly, the young. Three basic rights, huquq, of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first right of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these rights have been, you know, taken from the Quran itself, but the first right is the recitation of the Quran. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in about four or five places in the Quran, he talks about the basic objectives, what we say maqasid, maqsadu nubuwa, the objectives, the basic objectives or the aims and the goals and the purposes, the reasons, the motives, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why did Allah send the prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? What was the reason for his descent? Why did Allah appoint a prophet? And Allah mentions this in about five places in the Quran. One of the places he says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Indeed, Allah has favored the believers. إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا. Because he sent amongst them a messenger. مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Who was from amongst them. Number one, why? يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. He recites, he teaches them how to recite the book. He teaches them how to recite The words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yatlu, tilawa. So one objective, one job description, one objective of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was tilawa, teaching tilawa. Yatlu alayhim, teaches people how to recite the book. Then he said, yatlu alayhim ayatih, wa yuzakkihim, and he purifies them. That's his second job objective. Spiritually purifies them. Wa yuallimuhum alkitab, and then he teaches them the meanings of the book. First was the way to recite, and then purification. Then number three, he teaches them the meanings of the book. And number four, wal hikmah, he teaches them wisdom. Four basic objectives of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, leave the two from there, not because they're not important, they're very important, but that's a topic on its own. Two of the objectives mentioned in this verse, what were the four again? Let's see. If you're awake, what was the four again? Number one, recitation teaches them how to recite. Number two, spiritually purifies them. Number three, teaches them the meaning of the book. And number four, teaches them hikmah, wisdom. Let's leave the hikmah, wisdom, and that's a topic on its own, and the spiritual purification. Teaches them the book is one separate objective, and the meanings of the book is a separate, distinct objective of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does that tell us? That number one objective was of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that he came into this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him. He taught his companions, the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum wa anhunna, the male and female companions. He taught them how to recite tilawa. How to recite the book. This tells us that recitation of the book of Allah in itself is an objective for every believer, regardless of whether we understand the meaning or not. Understanding the meaning is the second objective that I'm coming to. Tilawa in itself is an objective. Even if someone does not understand the words of Allah, this is Kalamullah. Remember, you know, we hear the Quran always. Think for a moment, brothers and sisters. This is Kalamullah. You know what that means? It's an attribute of Allah. This is one of the manifestations, one of the things we can see direct of Allah. We can't see Allah in this life. لا تدركه الأبصار وهو يدرك الأبصار. We can't see Allah. In the Akhirah, inshallah, we shall see Allah in Jannah. But in this life, we see manifestations of Allah's creation and his bounties and his gifts, but something really closely attached to Allah. You know, this is a discussion that these are not the words of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. These are words of Allah. Just imagine, kalamullah hatta yasma'a kalam Allah. Imagine words of Allah. These are nothing ordinary. This is extra, extra, super, super extraordinary. So tilawa, reciting the Quran in itself, is an act of worship. It's an act of ibadah. And therefore, every Muslim should make it a part of his or her life. Our teachers tell us that no Muslim's day should begin before doing anything in the world. You cannot start your day without reciting the book of Allah. A Muslim can't live a life where their day does not commence, begin, initiate, start without the recitation of the book of Allah. Inna Qur'an al-fajri kana mashhuda. Quran in the morning time is attended by angels. But you can read it anytime. But it's really good to recite it in the morning. But the point is daily recitation, whether you recite 10 pages, 5 pages, even if it's one page, recitation of the book of Allah, words of Allah, tilawa, in itself is an act of ibadah. Even if someone doesn't understand the meaning, you know, some people say this, that look, you know, what's the point in reciting if you don't get the meaning? That's a separate objective, brother, sister. Even if you don't understand, you still, it's an ibadah. Quran is not like any other book. If there's any other book, number one, if you don't understand, you will never read it. Anyone know Chinese here? There might be somebody. Nobody? Nobody knows Chinese here? Ching chong ching no ching chong no. Nobody knows. It's a good language. Okay. Imagine picking up a book in Chinese. You know how to read, but you don't have a clue what it says. Will you read it? Will you ever read it? No. Even if you understand the meaning, Harry Potter book, Roald Dahl book. Who else is the author? Abdullah. Roald Dahl, who else is an author? You read it 3 times, 4 times. You say sometimes to me, I've read this book, I've read it twice, I don't want to read it again. It's boring. Once you read it, khalas. Quran, even ask the scholars and the students of knowledge, even if you've read it 2 billion times, every time you read it or you listen to it, it just, regardless how many times you've read it and you know the meaning, still each time it just gives you this special spiritual lift, and it's amazing. And you don't have to have a super amazing voice for it as well. You know, those people who are attached to the words of Allah, they don't need, I mean, of course, good voice, it helps, but it's not a necessary requirement for them to feel uplifted by the words of Allah in itself. Even if you don't understand the meaning, there is reward. You know the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? He said, each word you recite, each word you shall get 10 rewards. And then he said, when you recite Alif Lam Mim, you gain how many rewards? He said 30. He says, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, I don't say you get 10 rewards for Alif Lam Mim. Rather, Alifun Harfun, wa Lamun Harfun, wa Mimun Harfun. What did he say? Alifun Harfun, wa Lamun Harfun, wa Mimun Harfun. Alif is a letter, 10 rewards. Lam is a letter, 10 rewards. Mim is a letter, 10 rewards. Just by saying Alif, Lam, Mim, 30 rewards. And you know the significant point here? I haven't read this in any book, but this came to my mind. Allahu A'lam. If it's good, it's from Allah. If it's not good, then it's from me. And then just disregard it. But imagine, look at the example used by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He could have said any other word from the Quran, like for example, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ. After Alif Lam Mim is what? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ, right? He could have said, I don't say ذَلِكَ is one word, rather ذَا is one letter, and Lam. The example he used was Alif Lam Mim. Alif Lam has no meaning. ذَلِكَ has a meaning. All these letters, حَامِيم, يَاسِين, Saad, Qaf, these are letters. Allahu a'lamu bi muradihi bi dhalik. Only Allah knows the meaning. There is no meaning. So the example he used to say that you will get reward is of a word of the Quran that has no meaning that we know. Allah knows the meaning. This tells us that without any meaning, you get reward reciting the book of Allah. Just imagine, he could have said, okay, wa-nazi'at, you receive, you know, 50 rewards. No, he said, Alif Lam Mim. No meaning understood. Therefore, brothers and sisters, don't let anyone ever say to you that what's the point in just, you know, puppet fashion, parrot fashion, just, you know, just reading small children and memorizing the Quran. They don't know any meaning. What's the point? No, this is ibadah in itself. And then part of this tilawah, time is short, part of this tilawah also, it's not only recitation. Brothers and sisters, it's not only recitation, rather what? Reciting as Allah taught His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how He taught His Sahaba. This is also very, 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 very important to recite according to the laws and rules of recitation. Especially for non-Arabs, especially for people from the subcontinent, sometimes can be difficult. With what we call, what we say, what do we say with? Tajweed. You know what tajweed means? Tajweed is from the word jawada yujawidu in Arabic. Jawada yujawidu tajweedan. Fahuwa mujawid, wahuwa mujawad. Means reciting beautifully. As taught by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He taught his companions how to recite. It is honestly really sad if a Muslim lives 60, 70 years of her or his life. Sometimes when you say her first before the his, yeah? Just to be politically correct. Her or his life. 70 years, we've been on eBay, we've been on Amazon, we've been on, what else is? Every website you can think of, but we can't recite the words of Allah with tajweed. That is sad. There are 29 letters in the Arabic language. Spend one day perfecting one letter, 29 days, you've perfected 29 letters. With ghunna, with ikhfa, with idhar. Clarity. You know the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Qiyamah, he said, Inna alayna jam'ahu wa qur'ana. Fa'idha qara'nahu fattabi' qur'ana. O Messenger, when we teach you how to recite the book, fa'idha qara'nahu fattabi' qur'ana. Then follow that way of reading. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taught by Allah directly through the medium of guidance, through the medium of Jibreel, peace be upon him. Allah taught him this tilawah of the Quran. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَا. Follow that way of recitation. And he taught his sahaba. And this is why, you know, this ummah, this only Muslims have this science of tajweed. You don't have, I don't think, in any other language, where you have a science that tells you that ha, miftah, miftah, ha, comes from here, and kha is from here, dha and za, and, you know, ayn. In English, like, okay, where does D come from? You Americans speak so different to the British, and you're like, yeah, bra, you know, I don't know, all the accents are different. You know, the French people try to speak English, like, they make the R, like, there's a, you know, brother, zar, where are you coming from? And I don't know how they speak. It's, everyone has a different accent. In Arabic, it's like everybody is supposed to recite in the same way. The ayn and the, you know, ha and the kha, special signs which tells you, you take your tongue to the left and take it to the top corner and bring it at the front, and za is here, and dha and dha and a and ha and kha, all the sifat. This science of tajweed, no parallel in any language. So tilawa with tajweed, time is short, is the first real important responsibility. Inshallah, everyone make this effort. If you've already got tajweed, alhamdulillah, thank Allah. Number two, tilawa. We should make this firm resolution. These kind of programs are not there just so that we can just enjoy a bit of company, which is good in itself, but it takes something. And one of the things we should take here, make as soon as we come out of this door from now, make a resolution every single day, even if it's 7 minutes or 6 minutes and 43 seconds, I will recite the book of Allah, whatever happens, no matter what. Every day, 6 lines, 7 lines, 3 lines, make it 1 line. But never, ever let a day pass by that you don't recite the book of Allah. The second objective, quickly, time is very short, is the understanding of the meaning. I'm going to do this short now. Because we said in the verse, Allah said what? Teaching of the book. The second objective was, remember, teaching the meaning. Now, this is an objective. On one hand, we have people who only restrict themselves to tilawa, but never, ever, 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 never think about, especially the non-Arabs, ever think about understanding what Allah is telling us. I remember once I was traveling from London to somewhere in a train, this non-Muslim Christian guy sat next to me and he said to me, tell me one thing I don't get. You Muslims, you guys have a book called the Quran. Like, 90% of you Muslims don't have a clue what your God is telling you. Like, how does that work? We know Bible's in English. We know what God is saying. But 90%, they don't have a clue what God is saying. And that's true. Honestly, it's not only the responsibility of the scholars to understand the Quran. It's for everybody. That's why we have translations. And this, I don't know where this has come, especially in the subcontinent culture, where people don't think that we're not supposed, oh, no, no, we're not supposed to understand the Quran. No, understand it. يُعَلِّمُهُمْ. The meanings. But then on the other hand, understanding doesn't mean that we all become mufassir of the Quran and mujtahids of the Quran. You know, with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were Arabs, still the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them. This meaning has also come from Allah. Meaning was given to the messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He transmitted that meaning to the companions. And there is established way of understanding. Not somebody who just looks at dictionary and takes the meaning out. No, you have to follow the traditional system of the meanings and the tafsir of the Quran. So take time out. Alhamdulillah, there's a lot of good Quran translations available, reliable. Just make sure it's reliable. Translations, explanatory notes. One of the great, and I will say this, probably I'm biased, one of my teachers, Sheikh Mufti Taqi Uthmani, Hafidhahullah, he has a really amazing book, The Noble Meanings of the Quran. Pick that up. It's beautiful. Two volumes. You can get it. One thick volume. It has explanatory notes. If you're spending 6 lines every day, read the translation and a bit of explanatory meanings. And then when you recite in Salah, imagine when you understand Surah Al-Fatiha. We recite Surah Al-Fatiha so many times a day, but some of us don't know have a clue what it means. If you know the meaning, then your Salah is transformed as well. It's like amazing. You'll think, اِهْدِنَا الصَّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صَرَاطَ الَّذِي. With the meaning, think, reflect on the verses that are being recited. And lastly, acting upon it. The third, and I'm going to end with this in 2 minutes, the third basic objective of, sorry, the third right of the Quran over us. Recitation, one, try to understand the meaning, number two. And number three is acting upon the verses. Now, acting upon many of the verses are to do with, you know, the qudra, the power, the might of Allah. Allah says, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ, etc. You know, take these meanings inside. Try to act upon it. When Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, what does Allah say straight after that? So we need to think to ourselves, Allah is talking to me. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, yes, O Allah, you're talking to me. Tell me, Allah. And then stop for a moment. Pause. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe. Yes. لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ. A group of people should not make mockery of another group of people. As soon as we read that in the morning, how can I spend a day mocking other people? Allah is telling me, لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ. Allah says, لَا يَغَتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. None of you should backbite. Whether you're a male or a female, whether you have a lot of issues, do not talk behind the back of somebody else. Don't pick up the WhatsApp and say, sister, you know, she's like this and he's like this, or brother like this, and all the tale bearing. You just read in the morning, لا يغتب بعضكم بعضا. Allah is saying haram, backbiting, with certain exceptions only. Find out when it's halal. Allah says, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. Oh, you who believe, stay away, abstain from suspicion, from having evil suspicions about people. Give people benefit of the doubt. As soon as you see someone, this guy is coming past the masjid, oh, he must have not prayed. Allah says, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن, and so on and so forth. Acting upon the verses of the Quran. Just go directly. We don't need no one to tell us. Allah is telling us. What else better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord and Creator, telling us? So this is the third very, very important objective, which is acting upon the spirit of the Quran. And then, if you want to say, like a icing on the cake, or the masala, or the achar, or whatever you want to call it, then memorizing. Memorizing is like the icing on the cake. But you gotta have the cake, as the Americans say, you gotta have the cake. Not just have the icing. Memorizing comes after these three things. Tilawa, understanding, and acting upon the Quran are three important things, on top of which is the memorization. There's reward in memorization as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to attach ourselves with His kalam, with His speech. May Allah grant us the blessings. Don't just use the Quran just for adornment and keep it in the house. This Quran looks really amazing. This is my beautiful pink Quran. Yes, it is a very beautiful pink Quran, sister. Pink is for sisters, right? It's a very beautiful Quran, but yes, pick it up. Don't just use it for some, like every time you feel, you know, like some problems in life, oh, now I turn to the Quran. No. Whether you have problems or no problems, Quran is not just for problems. Quran is for daily life. Whether you're enjoying life, whether you're feeling sad, depressed, or happy, whatever state. Don't just use it for amulets and things like that. So this is what the Quran is for. May Allah grant us the ability to attach ourselves and to the Quran. And may He give us the blessings of His words and His speech. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله. I would like to thank once again Miftah Institute for this amazing, amazing program that they've organized today. And I'm sure half of you are traveling down the M1 or something to go to London tomorrow. Oh, no, people down here don't travel, sorry. You have another audience down there. But I think some of you will be going, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah bless all of you. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.